Hey, what's going on, family? This is your boy, Brother Technico, coming at you with another episode, and this one is more, we're going to talk about a couple of things. So, you know, we're going to talk about Balenciaga. We're going to talk about, you know, what's going on with black folks, black Twitter. We're also going to talk about this 10-year-old boy in Milwaukee, that whole situation. Very, very unfortunate situation. You know, just talking about a couple of things, but let me go ahead and start with the most tragic, because this, when I saw this too, I'll keep it real, y'all. When I first heard the story, before I saw one article, I could have swore this was a white child. That's what I thought at first. But of course, we look into things, we do the research, you know, I found out my initial reaction was wrong. But I want to talk about this, because this is very, very concerning. Again, I think we're, you know, I definitely think media is talking about this because it is a black child, you know, as it pertains to 10-year-old boys or 10-year-old serial killers. Like, there is a history of that. They don't really sensationalize that, but I'll give you guys an example, you know, or actually I'll give you guys a couple examples. You know, you got Amara Deep Sada, 1998. You got Mary Bell, 11 years old. You got Jasmine Richardson, you know, Caucasian. Like, the first one was Indian, next to Caucasian, Jasmine Richardson. Craig Price, this is a young brother. You know, he did that at age of 13 years old. Yeah. So those are just a couple examples of serial killers at a very young age. And for many of us who do know, but there's a few that don't know, there's usually signs involved in whether or not, you know, you can determine somebody has that sort of a disposition. It's usually either, you know, abuse before a certain age, showing a tendency to either torture or cause harm to creatures, other people, or animals before the age of 5. That's very, 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 very important. You know, they claim it is because I don't know this for a fact, but they claim this is that's a very tender point in development, you know, for someone at that age. So, again, this is typically stuff they don't, like, we don't hear about, and there's a lot more, you know, people around the age of, yeah, children around a certain age. But it's important to understand that when it comes to this sort of situation, you know, as unfortunate as it may be, there is no age limit. You know, it's just once the patterns start, you know, it's almost like waiting for the criminal behavior to occur. But I'm going to read you guys an excerpt from the Black Enterprise about this, and then I'm going to give you my 2-3 cents on this issue. So, a 10-year-old boy in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is being charged as an adult after he admitted to fatally shooting his mother, a 44-year-old Kiana Mann, on the 21st of November. News reported that she was shot in her eye at close range around 7 a.m. inside her home on, well, you guys don't need to know what the address is, that's irrelevant. But he first told authorities that he shot her accidentally by twirling the gun around his finger. After the shooting occurred, a man's son woke up his 26-year-old sister, Brianna Moore, to tell her what happened, and she dialed 911. Because of his age, he was originally allowed to stay with the family. However, the family called Milwaukee Police Department following day to advise them about some serious concerns they had regarding the shooting. Moore discovered that he'd used his mother's credit card the day after her death to buy an Oculus virtual reality headset he purchased online. An aunt also told authorities that he showed no remorse after his mother's death, and he admitted to aiming the gun at his mother before apologizing and asking if his headset had been delivered. Moore also told detectives that her brother has rage issues and hears voices from 5 imaginary people. Another family member recalled the child swinging a puppy by the tail as a 4-year-old after he was given a concerning diagnosis by a therapist. Man placed cameras inside the home to monitor her son, but they were unplugged by someone 2 weeks before the shooting. His grandmother, Loretta Mann, I believe that's how you say her name, confirmed the boy hears voices, told the Daily Beast, and that her grandson has psychiatric disturbances. I hope they haven't put him on any medication. I truly hope that wasn't the case. Because medication, even for children at a really young age, people have no idea of really how that stuff really affects people, how it numbs them, and it distorts a lot of things. You're playing with receptors. You're turning things on and off, and I just hope that wasn't the case. But anywho, according to the police, the child removed the gun from the man's locked safe after stealing the keys. During the second interview, he allegedly said that he had gotten the gun because he was angry with man, his mother, had woken him up 30 minutes early and wouldn't let him buy the virtual headset. The police arrested the 10-year-old boy and charged him with first-degree reckless homicide. He is currently housed in a juvenile detention facility and faces up to 60 years life in prison if he's found guilty. His grandmother said man would not want her charged as an adult. She would want us to do everything we could to help him. And I'm going to stop right there. So with that family, and again, a lot of mixed emotions about this, you know, but how I feel personally, especially after doing the research, I don't feel like he deserves any jail time. You know, he's like, he definitely needs to be put. But see, that's the other part that I'm having the mixed feelings with. I don't trust psychiatry. I don't. I truly don't. And a psychiatrist's track record in terms of curing people or helping people is shit. It's just plain shit. I'm sorry, folks, if my voice is going, just a lot of stuff. But that's where I'm having a hard time with this, because I have a lack of faith in these institutions, as you guys may well know. If you've follow this platform or follow me for any given period of time, you know that I have these sort of concerns, generally. As far as the young man, I have no reason to believe that his family members aren't telling the truth. Evidently, he has a history of this, and if he's hearing voices, this is the thing that kind of kills me. And this is the part where you can tell things are very, very uneven. You can tell things are not equal, because there was so much sympathy even to this day. And I'm not just talking about because the Netflix series came out. There's always been sympathy for people like Jeffrey Dahmer, Charles Manson, and so many folks that's had these issues, but they're white. And a lot of folks, and when you're dealing with a young child, granted, once again, when you're starting to see these sort of tendencies early, again, hopefully he wasn't on any sort of medication, because medication only exacerbates the issue. It doesn't matter what it is. I've had family members, cousins, who they've said had issues, even something as simple as ADHD. When they gave them that medication, they start acting weird. That's not natural. That's not natural. Now, we don't know enough about what happened 6 years prior or anything between here and there. Like, it's very, very hard to determine the kind of things that have been going on or what may have happened to him that could have left him with that impression. When I hear things that he's hearing voices or he's talking to people, you know, this may not be it, but the first thing that came to my mind was multiple dissociative disorder, you know, and things like that. Like, how much of these other personalities or other voices or a coping mechanism, you know, and I'm only taking that from my very, very limited schooling on abnormal psychology. When I first started school, I was a psych major like most people. So I'm not an expert. I've read a few books here and there, but that doesn't make me an authority. That doesn't mean that I necessarily know what I'm talking about. So don't take this as like an official diagnosis. This is just my thoughts on it. But I'm thinking immediately of things of that nature. I'm thinking that maybe something has happened. And usually it is. That's not like I'm going far over the deep end. No matter what kind of serial killer that you're dealing with, you usually find that there is some sort of event. And maybe they weren't aware of the event, you know, that could have transpired, that could have, I mean, 4 years old, shit, he's barely old enough to communicate or even understand certain things that's happening. So it's a very, very, again, a very, very delicate situation. Now, dealing with what he did, family, yeah. And I don't like categorizing our young people like this. You guys know how I feel about our youth, or just youth in general. You know how I feel about the inequities in this society when it comes to dealing with our youth. But this situation is unfortunate, you know, because it happened. Based on the information that I see, you know, everything seems to add up. The fact that he is kind of detached from the whole situation and, you know, wanted the video game. And frankly, if it wasn't an issue, let's say he just had some problems, certainly the act and the trauma of killing your own mother could invoke something like that. This is very, very sad. This is very, very sad. But I do agree with his grandmother. Something has to be done. Like, so, you know, they got to try to help him. I don't fault the mother. I heard and I saw a lot of those comments. There were some comments saying, well, why did you know what the mother was doing? We don't know. But you can't just assume that. And based on that information, you can't assume that she's automatically the problem. From what we know, let's not speculate. From what we know, his mother tried to do everything in her power to help her son, you know, monitor him. You know, naturally, when you see a scene like that, and again, you never know what may have happened to him or what may have caused some trauma to him. When you hear the story about him swinging a dog around violently by the tail at a young age, again, this is textbook serial killer stuff. Textbook. So I don't think it was fair for people to try to put that or to put the blame on the mother. It just seems to be that just seems like such the easy route. And in a world where we talk so much about mental health and the importance of it and how people need help, like you guys heard me say this 1,000 times about Chad Wheeler. Chad Wheeler damn near beat a girl to death. But mental health may save his life. May stop him from criminal charges, family. It's so unfortunate how they look at our children. You know, to be charged as an adult, family, what he did was wrong. It was a crime, because it's murder. Murder's a crime. But he's in no way, like, I don't see him as being a criminal. I see him as being someone who needed more help than he had available to him. And people, once again, people can speculate as much as they want to speculate. But the bottom line is the kid needed help. Unfortunately, his mother lost her life. And this is where we're at. And they ought to pick up the pieces. And what we can do as a community is just speak to the fact of he's a young man. He doesn't need to be in a prison for 60 years. Maybe an asylum or something close to that. Again, I do not like those facilities. And one reason I don't like the facilities, I won't get into all of them, but one reason I don't like those kinds of facilities because they are also pipelines into prison. They do the same thing with women. I know people personally who've been in those kinds of situations. And when things happen because they aren't right and people get hurt in some type of way, they wind up in jail or prison because at the end of the day, mental health or not, you do something, people are going to do something. They're going to punish you. And when you're black, you for damn sure going to get punished. But him wanting that Oculus Rift, and I'm going to deal with this because I heard some excuses online, which I just think are egregious. talking about blaming this on video games and what children are being exposed to. Mind you, I do agree that kids are exposed to a lot of bullshit, but this is not it, family. This is not one of those situations. It's not. Because this sort of thing has happened and has occurred long before they even had video games. People building these kinds of profiles. It's usually more rare for an individual like this to have murdered or killed someone or done something before they become an adult. Usually there's a more gradual process, but there's no real, because this is not something where you can say, okay, yeah, when you start as a serial killer, you're going to go through this, go through that. And I will say this as well, because this is fact. This is what they'll teach you. When you deal with either serial killers or sociopaths and things of that nature, is that it's very, very hard to tell. Like, once before a child reaches the stage of adulthood, they can exhibit symptoms of this sort of behavior and not really be it. It's very, very difficult to tell. You know, they usually need a lot more analysis because a lot of things are changing. Emotions are changing. Hormones are changing. To get that sort of consistency, I guess you would need to make a quote unquote proper evaluation. It's just not there when they're young. But again, when people started blaming video games, no, that's not it. There was something else that definitely happened. And there's no conversation about his father. You know, we don't know if his father was abusive. We know he wasn't around. Or let me not assume that, because I don't know that. But the father's name doesn't appear. Like, he's not brought up in any of this. There's no commentary that I can find. And if people do know about that commentary or him saying anything, say something, let us know, or let me know. And, you know, because, again, this is very, very important, very, very important in understanding what's going on. But beyond a shadow of a doubt, this young man was mentally unhealthy. And we don't need to blame video games. Like, see, those are two different things. Like, yes, kids can be exposed to stuff. We can be desensitized to things. But this ain't that. All right. So, again, very, very unfortunate. My heart goes out to that family. Because I can only imagine what they're feeling and what they're going through right now. I really can't. I can only imagine. But anywho, let me get some water because my voice sounds like really, really weird. Sorry about that. So, the other thing I want to talk about while we're on the subject of children, I got to talk about this Balenciaga thing. I don't know if I talked about it in any of my other episodes. If I didn't, here it is. If I did, oh well, you're going to hear it again. This shit is so goddamn criminal, y'all. And we should not be surprised by this. When we see documentaries like Open Secret, if you guys haven't seen it, inbox me or message me on Twitter, direct message me on Twitter. I'll send you a link to it. But we shouldn't be surprised if we know that most of Hollywood operates like this, and even government, like when we think of Pizzagate, we have to understand that those are the people with the money. Why would not? And I'm not excusing Balenciaga for what they did. They are criminal. They're vile. But to open up the big door, the big picture, while they're blaming Denma, you know, y'all co-signed this shit, but you want to blame it on one designer. What the fuck ever. But anyway, the thing is that these people with the money to go buy Balenciaga, you have to think about what it is that they're advertising to the people with that kind of money, who's spending on that, who's advertising that, who's talking about that in their songs. You know, I don't think enough is talked about how pervasive this sort of thing is throughout entertainment. And I've always talked about, I always thought it was suspicious that, you know, R. Kelly would call himself the Pied Piper of R&B, but because when you think about who the Pied Piper is in their relationship with children, you know, it's just sort of like, why would you, if you're doing some stuff like that, why would you ever assume that title? So it makes me think there's naturally other people around him putting that sort of thing into his head, and people that are participating with him. You know, and a lot of people, okay, like, but you know, but that's my point. So many things like this happen. The only reason we're starting to notice is because we have social media. You know, maybe years in the past when they would have a certain advertisement like this, if somebody would catch it, it wouldn't spread. And again, we don't control social media. And where we found out about this, and Balenciaga pulled themselves off, yeah, I'm pretty sure I talked about this. But when you see how Balenciaga took themselves completely off of a Twitter, you know, and we also have to understand that Twitter has new management. They're not offered those same privileges and protections that they were. If they want those kinds of protections, I believe they're gonna have to pay for it. Quite frankly, that's what I think is what's gonna happen, or gonna have to happen for them to do that. And which, since that doesn't seem to be the case, yeah, they got their asses off Twitter quick, fast, in a hurry. They didn't want to deal with that backlash. So once again, people can thank Black grassroots media, and even some other folks as well. But Black grassroots media has been on this. Black Twitter has been on this, talking about those fiends. But again, we have to remember who Balenciaga caters to. And what makes it even more egregious, and I retweeted this as well on Twitter. Someone else had tweeted a picture of one of their sex toys. And this is like a little boy with an open orifice in his mouth, we can assume for what, and a penis on the nose. Family, this shit is sick. This shit is sick. What they're doing with our children, and we have to understand that they've been doing this with our children. You guys have heard me talk about this a long time ago when I was talking about whether it was seaboard slave states, or even homosexuality and colonialism. We have to realize that pedophilia, particularly of young boys, or pedophilia in general, is so Western, it's not even funny. We're talking about cases where people have documented in their own travels, like in seaboard slave states. This dude is talking about, he sees a young girl get raped by bandits. You know, they tore her clothes. She's all disheveled and fucked up because what they just did to her. And all he does, you know, he offers her a coat. He thinks he's being a gentleman. He offers her a coat. When we talk about homosexuality and colonialism, a book that should be called Pedophilia in Colonialism, they have terms called, what is it again? Ketamites. They have specific terms for people who are either have a certain proclivity for sex with young boys. And in certain parts of China, they had, because again, when we talk about especially pedophilia and using homosexuality as a weapon, is definitely a Eurasian thing. Because when you deal with, like, when the Mongols and dealt with China, Korea, when they took over kingdoms, what they would do is they would capture the royal bloodline, the children. They would castrate them, and in some cases turn them into women. Because you're taking that power away from them, you're not allowing them to be quote unquote threats or men. So they had a thing where these Europeans would love to go to the Orient, as they called it, to have sex with young boys. And of course, they blame the Orient for the Europeans feeling the need to go have sex with these youngsters. This shit is sick. This shit is sick. But this is the kind of world that we're living in. What I've come to understand, just through my research and of history, and particularly trying to find out what was happening to us, you find out so much more when you start doing research. You find out that this is the world that they want. And when you go even further back, you even deal with, like, certain quotes from Plato talking about the purest love is the love that you can have with young boys. Well, how did Plato get in the position to where they could do that? Because even if you talk about Oh yeah, I'll be your son's mentor, and I'll do this and I'll do that, and they're doing this to have access. Well, what's wrong with these women? What's wrong with their families? How are they getting access? We have to remember that women had their rights taken away from them from the start. If we deal with Solon, who was the early Greek lawmaker, you'll find that women's rights already are getting attacked. And you're already seeing laws where things that happen to women or children can be compensated for with money. That's a very, very important thing. But the thing that I'm pointing to is that the only way you can get access to children is if the mothers, the maternal figure, does not have the ability to protect them. 90 something time, 9 times out of 10, when you're dealing with pedophilia, and I'm not saying that women don't do it or haven't done it, but the majority of the time when you're dealing with pedophilia, you're dealing with a man committing the act. So, in order for that man to have access to that child, they had to take power away from that woman to be able to not only defend herself, but to defend her child. Now, let's fast forward. And today, this is the same situations that we have. It may not be verbatim, but we see women are still as about as disenfranchised as they've always been. They got some buffers here and there, but women really don't have a stake in shit. When you talk about slavery, I know I'm jumping back and forth, but when you talk about slavery, and you talk about how they had white or black men, white men had black men so whipped in the mind, so defeated that they would sneak out and pretend like they wouldn't notice the slave matters, master raping their wife or their children. This is a very, very, very sick thing. The degendering that happened in slavery. Young boys not able to wear pants. Like when you get into that part of history, to where the young men couldn't even wear pants when they was working, when they were doing a thing. I'm talking about young kids. And when they were old enough, when they did start to hit puberty, they would just split that shirt down the middle so they could see their bare chest. Like those are the kind of things that I think of when I see shit like that. And when you see stuff like that, and when you think about this Westerner, European, having a history of doing these kinds of things, it's no wonder why we're dealing with a culture that's so perverse. Even when we deal with certain writers of the Bible, some of them, especially the ones that really, really hated sex, had that really anti, just really negative image of sex, a lot of those men grew up in brothels and in a white, man, male dominated society where women didn't have rights, couldn't do shit. Who do you think was fucking them young boys? I hate to put it like that, but this is real. This is some sick shit. And for the government, people like Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, all these celebrities, like, how the hell are people not outraged about this? How are people not talking about this? Yes, there's been a lot to talk about. But we gotta make time for this. I don't give a fuck. This is something that you gotta make time for. 'Cause that shit is so, it's so criminal. Family, if you haven't seen it already, go check it out on my social media, on my Twitter. The shit is bad. This shit is bad. So, I don't really know what else to say about this sickening shit outside of the fact that anybody who's caught wearing Balenciaga at this point, I don't give a fuck how much you pay for it. You need your ass beat. And they have that shit torn off you. I don't care if it's shoes, shirt, pants. Shit. Treat your ass like Willie Dynamite. Laces. Yeah, snatching that right off you. 'Cause we don't play that. We don't represent that. We don't support that or endorse it. And I will take that as an endorsement. Don't have me act foolish out here. But it's okay. A lot of y'all can't. But I don't even want to see no fake Balenciaga. I see a motherfucker even rocking some fake Balenciaga. We're going to have a problem because I do not like that. And I don't believe in, well, it wasn't, give a fuck. I feel weird about motherfuckers when they start listening to R. Kelly, especially them bad songs. And if you know what I mean by them bad songs, them songs that after you found out what he did, you sitting up there like, okay, was this towards a grown woman? Or is this something he was singing to them little girls? Because I ain't got time for that shit. No. I can't listen to him. And yeah, he's talented. He had jams. He had some songs I love. I can't endorse that. That shit gets stuck. That gets put in my head. I think of that and I feel weird just listening to him. I can't associate. I can't associate with you if you are a known sexual deviant. If you a rapist or you touched little babies. Shit. Can't fuck with me. No. We can't be cool. Straight like that. Straight up and down. No. Can't fuck with you. Nope. I don't give a damn. We could be friends. We could have been friends for 25 years. Best I can do is you get your ass away from me. Because I don't know what I'll do to you. Because I can't co-sign that. Nah. No, there's a code of etiquette that comes when you do stuff like that. And I don't give a damn because law don't mean shit as it pertains to what's truly moral and ethical. See, this law say any kind of battery or any kind of violence done to somebody is a crime. Shit, I feel like if you known for dealing with that kind of degeneracy and it's proven, yeah, you get exiled. Or it's on site. Straight up and down. Ain't no in-betweens. Ain't no motherfucking in-betweens. That shit is sick, y'all. And what I want to see is people go after, like, why didn't they shut down Balenciaga's accounts? What happened to, like, the banks didn't stop fucking with Balenciaga? That's the shit that really kills me. You know, they go, and granted, y'all know how I feel about Ye. But, you mean to tell me what Ye said is worse than what Balenciaga did? And furthermore, I need a deep dive. I need a deep search. We need to go find out about who purchased this shit. Especially them little that little toy that had the penis on that little boy's nose. Yeah, I need to know who bought that. Right. You gonna blame Demna for that? No, I need to see. I need receipts. I know you got them. Who bought it? Who you send that to? Because I know you didn't have it in the store. And if you did have it in the store, then this shit is foul. Foul, foul, foul. Too foul. Now, let's go on to something else. Because this shit going to piss me off. Because the way people is going about it. And I understand what people mean. All this fake outrage. Like, because ain't nobody outrage, especially not the black community. Like, the black community is pissed off at this shit. We don't condone that. And anybody sitting up here making excuses, yeah, something you need to be dealt with too. Male, female, I don't give a damn. You co-sign or you endorse or you try to defend, rationalize that shit. Yeah, your ass need to get got too. So like I said, we're going to go into the next topic. Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders. Yeah. We done found out all about you. Are we surprised? Should we be surprised that somebody that they love someone who came out the woodwork with it. And look, I like when people work for HBCUs or try to uplift the HBCUs, but you didn't hear me talk a whole lot about Deion Sanders, because I wait to see what people are going to do. Like, a lot of people can say nice things or do something for a year or two. A year or two is not that long. But let's observe and see what they all about. As soon as he had his opportunity, oh, he said, shit, fuck this, I'm out. After all that talk he was talking about building up HBCUs and this and that. And damn, them coons like Roland Martina, you know, who want to sit there and say, well, it's not his fault. Blame the alumni who don't give money back to the school. Blame them. Hold on. Deion Sanders was supposed to be building up this HBCU. The fuck? And it ain't just that. It's also, shit, money that you get. And if he builds it up, like if he was building up them sports teams, shit, it won't be hard to start. See, it's a process. And people want to sit up there and just talk a whole bunch of bullshit and not talk about the process. What he was talking about was never a couple of years set out to accomplish. What he was, the game he was spitting, you know, was that he got to build up HBCUs to be competitive. That doesn't happen in just a few years. It takes time. You got to get some of them players into the league. You got to get some of those people into a position to where they can go back and donate. Players, professional athletes go back and donate money all the time. Not every single athlete. Stop, just don't fool yourself. And it's not like they're obligated to do so. Should we do it more often? Hell yeah. Matter of fact, we should make HBCUs the focus. If you want to get into teaching, if you want to teach at a university and you black and you care about our people, then you gotta take the pay cut. It ain't no different than teaching in one of our communities, whether it's an elementary school, junior high, high school. 9 times out of 10, for you to deal with us, for you to benefit your community, you taking a pay cut. So it's not unusual. You have to understand sacrifice. See, that's that bullshit. Primetime sent up there and sold us a lie. Talking about he was trying to make HBCUs viable, competitive. And really what it was is that he wasn't getting the opportunities where he wanted them. So he used us, brought up the name, did some good things, you know, built a good reputation, blah, 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 blah. Because he is a phenomenal athlete. He knows football like the back of his hand. Ain't no denying that. Probably the best NFL athlete player of all time. So we know he knows the game. But he also knows the other game where he can just come appeal to black folks, get what he need, get the support from black folks, and then leave us high and dry. Now, I'm not going to let people get away with that whole narrative. When you saying that you're going to uplift the BCUs, I need to see at least 10, 15 years into the thing. Because that's the kind of time that it takes. And just think about it, though. If every student that went there, every player went there for all 4 years, which you usually want to do when you're playing football because your body got to develop. It's not the NBA, okay? 4 years, shit, that's 3 fucking classes. That's 3 rotations. So you couldn't do that? You're not serious. And I would caution black people, I would put them on notice, the next time that Negro ever come to the black community for everything, you leave his ass high and dry. Like, and maybe other people may disagree with me on that. But I have a thing about niggas. Yeah, I said it. It ain't banned yet. Niggas wanting to come to us when they need something. When, oh, woe is me. Look at what they doing to me. Oh, look at how they cheat. And then what? Is them butter biscuits? Later. Tired of that shit. Tired of it. That's bull. You don't get to treat our people like that. Or if you do, we remember. Remember your loyalties. Remember what was important to you. Because when they snatch it from you, don't come crying to us. That's a damn shame. All these damn athletes, tall, strong, can do all this kind of shit, and then just a bunch of hoes. Really? Just a bunch of hoes with no spine. You spineless coward. Yeah, I can't fuck with him. I can't. But I've long been disillusioned by athletes. It's just that it doesn't hurt any less when they stab us in the back because I know what they did. I know what they had to do to even be in that position. It's how quickly they forget who had to bleed, suffer, cry, and sometimes die for these folks to be in the position that they in. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to believe Fat Meat's greasy. And the thing that I know, see, this is the wonderful thing about history. And this is why there's some things that I say, and I know you guys notice, that come to pass because history does rhyme. And Fat Meat is greasy. So, it won't be long. It may not be this year, next year, the year after, but very soon, we're going to see him crying to us. Something going to happen to him. And then he going to get to crying. But it's also going to be at that time where I remind everybody where his loyalties were and where our loyalty should be. Yeah. We got to go there because that shit is some bullshit. But hey, like I said before, I said this years ago, and I'll say it again. Time is going to come where the people who you thought were on your side, you're going to find out really playing for that team over there. And for those who you thought really wasn't fucking with you, going to find out they was really your friend all along. Funny how history works, how life works. Let's get into this last little topic. Because this is something that I've been talking about a lot. And I'm going to keep talking about it because so much divisiveness out there. So many things out here, family, that are constructed to divide us. Even that whole yay situation is constructed to divide us. And I don't think we should be divided over yay. We just pay attention. I can't agree with that shit he said. Some of you do. Whatever. I don't care. You can go along with that foolishness. You know, I don't believe in how they're treating him. And that's the difference. A lot of people don't know that two things can be true at the same time. That we can protect a person, we can look out for a person, you know, we can identify, acknowledge that things, wrong things are being done to them, but we don't necessarily have to support them and some of the things that they do. That's why in the very, 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 very beginning, I brought up OJ. And I brought up why it was important to deal with OJ, even though OJ had it all become an Uncle Tom him damn self, but precedents that get set. And we cannot allow this society to use yay to start a precedent. Another thing that we can't allow this lack of information and knowledge in our community to keep us divided. We also can't be falling for the same trick over and over again. Let me explain what I mean. With this whole FBA talk versus Pan-Africanism, this shit is ridiculous, y'all. And I'm going to keep talking about this because this is some dumb shit that really does affect us. A lot of people have taken what a few tethers, and what a tether is, family, it isn't automatically somebody who comes from another country that happens to be black. A tether is someone who happens to be from another country who comes out here and starts cooning intentionally for white massa. They come over here intentionally trying to get some butter biscuits. That's what they want. Yeah. Get them. That's all it is. That's all they want. That's very, very different from somebody who just happens to be black or of African descent that's from another country. We need to be able to make that distinction. We do. on both sides. And when people sit up there, and because this is the part that kills me, because you got people who go out there and say this and that, and they start hating on Africa. They're like, and what did Africans ever do for us? Name one African that ever fought a war, or one African general that... Are you guys dumb? No, let me stop doing it, because there's a lot of people out there say, well, you don't have to disrespect somebody to prove a point. That's why I'm not a leader. That's why I'm more of a researcher, scholar. You know, I'm out here trying to, you know, lead campaigns and shit like that, because I still got that in me. I keep telling y'all I ain't done with my priesthood yet. I'm still learning. Because with shit like that, it's hard for me not to call it what I feel it is. Because if you knew anything about history, if you even knew anything about the black man digs up his past, folks like Dr. Ben, how we fought and always kept after, like, are you guys even familiar with Songs from the South? Are you guys even familiar? Like, that's the kind of stuff that I have to ask, because a lot of us base what we think based on the information that the white man gave us. And then we get mad at our brothers and sisters from other countries who also use the same information that the white man gave them. And we be mad as hell when they wrong. Oh, we didn't get freed by no Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, and we didn't just get sold off by a whole bunch of Africans, but they keep perpetuating that lie. That's why I told you guys that movie was trash. That's why I told you guys Woman King was a piece of shit. Because when you accept a false history, and I know I'm disagreeing with some of my elders, but they not looking at it the same way, because when you know the history, you can deal with it. Woman King now, like, people want to focus on the part that was untrue, which is slave traders. Which, no, that time period, they weren't dealing with no slaves. They're rebelling against the French. And at this point, the Ashanti, or Dahomey, the Ashanti people, they have officially broken off from the main branch, which is Yoruba. So they're doing their own thing at this point. And the years that they were dealing, you're talking about a 30-year period while they're conquered, after the fact, where you want to talk about this slave trade, but that wasn't what happened with Dahomey. Dahomey whooped the shit out the French. And another thing I got to say about the Warrior King, or Woman King, is that a lot of people, like, when they go review it, because it is, see, that's the thing, when you have such a lack of foundation in terms of history, people are calling it a fake, fictitious history, but they're calling it that, a lot of people are calling it that because of the woman warriors. But the woman warrior aspect is very, very true. The false aspect is fighting other Africans. But do you see the damage when you keep perpetuating that same lie? And when you're never educated, which a lot of folks with how they feel won't be educated, won't do the research, won't go find out, you can easily accept that sort of trash as the narrative. Yeah. And that's exactly what's happened. People have accepted the lie. Now, let me go on a bit further what I mean by it, or just sort of hone in on some of these issues I've been seeing. You see, as it pertains to why we feel like this, or why this has been exacerbated, once again, it's been that FBA Pan-African sort of talk. And a lot of people who are either with Pan-African, and you guys got to be aware of trolls. Just because somebody can use a hashtag, or they could be black or use a black image or whatever, that don't mean that they represent what that movement is all about. FBA ain't shit on African people. FBA isn't a movement that shits on Pan-Africanism. There's some people who try to use it like that, but don't pay attention to them. If that message didn't come from the source, then we have to stop paying attention to it. And that was my only criticism of Tariq Nasheed in that roasting. Because people have gotten the wrong idea. Now we up here on Twitter and social media, now in some cases real life, you know, like, this is Crips and Bloods. FBA Pan-Africanists are just folks who are not necessarily FBA. Shit is ridiculous. And it's fun, and we got trolls on both sides using these hashtags. You got people with the Pan or want to either play Pan African or they are international and they are tethers or people who are pretending to be tethers, because you can't forget that white people don't have a problem creating fake accounts, burner accounts, and getting to trolling. Like, they've been doing it for a long time. Or to start infiltrating. That's what they do. And a new black social media platform that I am on, 60.net, that's the number 60 spelled out .net. You know, it was just posted earlier today that there was white people starting to get on that platform. And that's what they do. That was my issue. Remember what my issue with BLK was? Not only that it was run by the same people who own Twitter, who created Twitter, is that even though it's for BLK or black people, you got a whole bunch of whites and Asians on there. Like, and then they calling themselves chocolate, mocha, and all them other kind. Like, you got me fucked up. And they wouldn't even put a need for ethnicity or race because it's assumed. Yeah, but the bullshit. But you see, that's the kind of issues that we have. That's what they do. They infiltrate, or certain people, or some people could just be what I call, or what the government even calls, useful idiots. Where they don't know no better, but they saw maybe one troll say one thing, or one person say one thing, and then they think that that's okay to say. They ain't doing no research, they don't know nothing, so they just get on the bandwagon. You got a lot of people who hop on bandwagons. There's not enough people who are actually taking the time to do research. And part of that is society, because society has, we're all into instant gratification. Get it now. Give me now. People don't want to sit down and read a 300, 400 page book on their history. They want to get it all in 30 minutes. They ain't trying to watch a lecture. They just want to give me the important stuff now. Not understanding that you can't get it all in a short amount of time. And anybody that's claiming they can give that all to you in a short amount of time is lying. They're liars. But you don't want to accept that they're lying because you too busy wanting to get on to the next thing. Instant gratification. Gimme. We got to break out of that shit. We got to stop dealing with that. We have to educate ourselves. We have to stop being so reactionary. When something happens, just don't react to it. When someone says something, don't just react to it. Take a couple of seconds and start breaking it down. And whether if you like the person or not, when they say some bullshit, that don't mean hop on the bandwagon and say, okay, yeah, cool. No, just really analyze what they said. And you can, that don't mean you have to stop dealing with the person, but just don't get with that unless they start doing something really egregious. But all of this separation between who we are as people, it's going to work against us. And if we allow it here, we're going to allow it in other areas, and I'm already seeing it. That's why it's so easy for the black man to be against the black woman. We allow ourselves to be divided so fucking easily. Just because of what a few people did. A few shitty black men gave somebody this impression. Now all black men are shitty. One shitty black woman gave these black men a bad impression. Now all black women are shitty. And it's no different when it comes to the FBA and the people who are non-FBA. You got one or two people out this group that do not represent the majority. And most of the people in Africa, look, they ain't even got the... Now, I'm not saying like all the other cities and shit like that, but most people out there are too busy out there hustling, trying to get a dollar. They too busy doing hospitality. They too busy trying to hustle and get their $15 a month to be worried about what we talking about over Twitter. And if they are ignorant, look, you just got to leave it be. But do not think that these few represent the whole. Yeah, when you go travel over to Africa, there's going to be some people who may not like you. But guess what? There's going to be a lot of people who are going to treat you better than they treat other folks. And that's fact. That's fact. Yeah, when you start dealing with people, especially high tourist spots, but shit, that's where you got to... We got to get to know each other as family. Stop trying to be cool with all these other people. Stop trying to make alliances with all these groups. Fuck a black and brown coalition. Let's be cool with ourselves first. Can we be cool with ourselves first? Can we love ourselves first? Can we respect ourselves first? Before we start mustering up all this emotion and energy for somebody else? Can we get some of that energy going instead of the only energy that we can conjure up is a combative one? One where we're at each other's necks, disrespecting each other? It is what it is, family. And somebody got to tell you the truth. Yeah, a lot of this shit that y'all say over online is retarded. It's dumb. And I know, you know, you shouldn't say that, but it is. And all you got to do is pick up a few books. It don't even take that many books to get that understanding. Why don't you find out first? Like, I had to find out about that case with that young man. When you're reactionary, you just assume you can be wrong. It helps to take a few moments just to take a look at things. That's why I've been playing a lot of chess, family. Chess teaches you that. Instead of just making a quick snap move, take a few minutes, even if you think you know what the right move is. After they move, just take a few moments to just reevaluate the position, just to see if that's, you know, if there's not even an even better move. That's how we need to operate, family. But the rest of the shit that we're doing, I'm not going to say we need to do better. We know what we need to do. We just need to be about it. I'm not going to tell us what we need to do. We know what we need to do. We just need to be about doing it. Once we get about doing it, less talk, less dilly-dally, less bullshit, and just get to the business, the business, then everything will be all right. It'd be Charlie. So with that being said, family, peace, love, and light. Thank you for supporting this podcast for so long. Links to the social media always in the description. Okay. And this is going to be the start of a new week. So hopefully it's a better one than it was last week as far as what's going on in the world. But if not, shit, we're going to hold it down. All right. Tech out.